This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is a weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, making connections that count. In this interview, I talked to Professor of Nursing Dr. Susan Snellgrove and student Brooks Probst about research involving sexual assault and emergency room nurses. Dr. Snellgrove starts the interview.
Well, pertaining to this research, I teach forensic nursing, which is nursing's interface with the law. And I have done several things in the past with that. My research interest was originally resident-to-resident violence in nursing homes. I've also been a legal nurse consultant, working for attorneys, looking at chart reviews and so on to help them with their cases. I've been an expert witness. I have done a little bit of death investigation and most recently sexual assault exams. And I have taught in all of those areas.
And is it a challenge to be able to teach something that can be so, I guess, so sensitive?
It really is. But one of the things that we work on is helping nursing students to view their own values so that they remain non-judgmental when it comes to victims of crime and perpetrators as much as they can, so that no matter what has happened in a person's past, they can give the best possible care.
Is that the main challenge, is trying to get over some of those perceptions and maybe some of those things?
Absolutely. And it all involves just helping the students to really get in touch with their own ethics, their own internal morality, and to help them to know who they can safely care for and who they can't. Because we always encourage nurses and nursing students that if they cannot care for patients in a non-judgmental way, they need to let their supervisor know so that they can have a change in assignment.
Right. So tell us about the research that Brooks has been doing. Or Brooks, I guess we could talk to you about this. How did you get involved in the interest of this particular kind of research that you did?
So I would say my research kind of started off with communication. I knew that that's something that God has blessed me with. I feel that's one of the main reasons that I joined nursing, is because I knew that I loved to talk to people. I knew that I loved to help people out. So after talking to multiple professors about where I should go with this project, they then referred me to Dr. Snellgrove. And this is where I talked to her originally about some of the work that she does and what she does to help these victims of sexual assault. After doing this, I then went back home and did a little bit of my own research, just kind of looking at different journal articles and things like that. And then after doing this, I saw kind of an overarching theme, and that was nurses need to understand their own perceptions about everything, about races, religion, and on this topic of sexual assault before they can provide the best and adequate care that is needed for this population of patients. So after doing that, I kind of started to think about, sexual assault is such a big thing in the media right now, and it's happening right here in Jonesboro. So what are our nurses in Jonesboro particularly doing to help this out, to help out with this? So, kind of going back to the root of nursing on their perceptions. So overall, I created a study. Dr. Snellgrove and I created a study that I brought it to the emergency room. The emergency room nurses are some of the first people to see these victims of sexual assault after this form of violence occurs. So I was able to bring this survey to these nurses and have them fill it out. And some of the survey questions were questions of how confident do you feel in your ability to care for these victims of sexual assault? Do you know anybody in your personal life that has been affected by this form of assault? Or have you personally been affected by some form of sexual violence? And how does it affect your care? What personal feelings do you have regarding this topic? And so this was kind of a qualitative and quantitative study that was kind of put together. And it's about the main parts of my study.
Right. And so what are some of the things that have come out of this study that you've been finding, if you don't mind, please?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm currently working on data configuration and putting that all together right now. But
right.
I have some preliminary findings, and I had about 20 to 25 nurses that were able to fill out this survey, which I thought was a really good number. And actually, out of those 20 to 25 nurses, only one had been sexually assault nurse examiner trained. And one other had had some special sexual assault kit training. Every nurse, every one of the nurses that filled out the survey has cared for somewhere between 3 and 5 victims of sexual assault in the last year in Jonesboro alone. Four of these nurses claimed and said that they had been a victim of sexual assault in their lifetime. 13 of these nurses said that they knew someone who has been sexually assaulted. Overall, on a scale of 1 to 10, these nurses felt that they were about on average a 6.25 out of 10 on how confident they feel in their ability to care for these nurses. And, you know, my goal is that with this research, we can then put this all together to be able to further the care that can be provided to best understand how to train these nurses better.
Dr. Susan Snellgrove and also Brooks Probst joining us here on the Creative State podcast, Making Connections That Count. So the research that Brooks has been doing, what have you been thinking about some of this research as you've been kind of looking at it? Your initial thoughts on this?
Well, I think I was very encouraged by the number of nurses that he got to fill out his survey. That was really good. We're looking at a very busy emergency room, and I was really happy that so many were. I think that sort of reflects the importance of this issue. They took the time out of their busy day to fill out the surveys, and I think that is a big result in itself. I was not surprised by the numbers at all. A few years ago, we surveyed just nursing students in our program here at Arkansas State just to ask, you know, how many of them had been affected by sexual assault in their lifetime, and it really was, we had a sample of about 300 and something, I don't remember the exact number,
right,
students at the time, and this was several years ago, but it reflected the national statistics of about 1 in 4 or 5 people who had been sexually assaulted or who had been affected by it. And so I was not at all surprised by his numbers. I think it also reflects that we need more training. We need more trained sexual assault nurse examiners. A sexual assault exam takes a lot of time. It's obviously a very sensitive topic that we're dealing with, mm-hmm. and we're dealing with somebody who's already been victimized. We don't want them to be re-victimized, and it takes some specialized training to accomplish that. It takes about an average of 4 hours to do one of these exams. And if you have a busy emergency room, you can imagine how it's really difficult to take that much time with one patient when there's a huge population of patients that have a great need. And these patients may not look like there's anything wrong with them.
Yeah. So is it something where you may have maybe one or two nurses or a couple of nurses that are specifically trained, and that's, I don't know if you want to say that's all that they do, but at least that's kind of their priority if someone like that comes into the emergency room?
There may not be any trained nurses that are there at the time. But we do have, one of the good strengths of this community is we do have a rape crisis center in the community where victims can be examined by specially trained sexual assault nurse examiners. They currently do not have 24-hour coverage, or they haven't had in the past. Mm-hmm. They may recently have established that. But that really is where these victims, if they are not injured, where they need to be taken care of in an emergency room, that's really the more optimal place to have the exam.
Right. And so is there that kind of training out that he's talking about, or would this kind of help develop, Brooks, would this kind of help develop some training models?
Yeah, I feel like it can show people where they are currently and how, because I think that in order to be a sexual assault nurse examiner, you kind of need to have a calling. Mm-hmm. You need to understand, like I was talking about, you need to understand where you are personally, so then you can go and then be trained. But yes, there are correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Snowgrove, but there are places and tests that you can take and programs that you can do to become sexual assault nurse examiner trained.
But the whole thing is that we need to have more
right.
of that training.
We have somewhere between maybe 5 and 10 in this community right now, and we really need more than that, yeah. Yes.
Right, and so we hope that maybe this will kind of spur action in
spark
that regard,
interest.
Right, and
yeah.
spark
maybe
interest.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it will.
You know, and obviously with that, Brooks, that would make a huge impact, obviously, in there. So
yeah.
kind of tell us about your thoughts on the potential impact for something like that and how that could help the community and
yeah.
people in the community.
So I think that this can impact so much. You know, I believe that by nurses and nurse leaders understanding their own perceptions, they will be able to assign the best people to the best care. One thing that I didn't talk about earlier that I found in my study is the people who knew someone who had been personally had that experience of sexual assault, they felt more confident in their ability to care for someone. And I think that this relates back to them understanding and kind of knowing what their friend maybe or their family member have been through.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to provide the right care and being able to pick the right people for the right care, that's one of the first things that I think needs to happen. And after that, then we can spread this to the community so that nurses can, yeah, overall just provide better care for this population that at times can be overlooked, like Dr. Snowgrove said.
Yeah. And your thoughts on this, on the impact for the communities?
You mean
research?
Yeah. Well, I think any time that we shine some light on the topic, it helps. Over the last several years, especially when President Obama was in office and Vice President Joe Biden, this was one of their big emphasis areas, and they were both very big proponents of victims' rights and trying to, especially on college campuses, trying to do something about the problem with sexual assault. And the more we have talked about it, the more victims are willing to come forward. They realize that they're not alone. Being a victim can be a very lonely experience. A lot of people feel a lot of shame. The way that education is sexual assault education in the United States has been, we have focused on what the victim can do to prevent their own assault, when what we really need to be doing is educating people on respecting each other and not committing assault on each other in the first place. You know, we like to say the number one cause of sexual assault is rapists in mm-hmm. the country, not what you wear, not how you act. And so I think anytime we shine light on a difficult topic, we bring the victims, we bring some comfort to them, actually, and people are willing to talk about it and get help.
And sometimes those conversations can be really hard to start. So how do we get to that point where we can start having those conversations?
With victims?
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the training. That's part of the training process. The most difficult part of the sexual assault exam is the interview. asking the questions so that they are the least damaging to the victim. We don't want to re-victimize.
Right. But then also in general, just in the public, you know, and kind of in the public realm about, you know, these conversations are things we need to have, especially when you have like the Me Too movement and other things like that. How do we start those conversations where it might be difficult to be able to do that?
Well, what we do in the College of Nursing and Health Professions is we try to educate each student on abuse and how to screen for abuse with every patient that they come in contact with. We teach them how to ask the questions in as non-damaging a way as possible for victims. We have simulations where we teach about assault. We put the students in a role where they have to screen, they have to identify assault, and they have to learn how to separate victims from their abusers so that they can find out what's really going on. And we teach every nursing student who comes through our program that. As far as in the general population, that's a really big problem. It's a really, really big problem. But if we can teach our nurses how to screen every patient they come in contact with, we feel like we're making an impact.
Brooks, what was your main takeaway from this research as you now move forward and continue with your work and your schooling? And that it seems like it's kind of driven you to try to, you know, I want to do what I can and do my part to kind of help. And, you know, tell us a bit about that, about future.
You know, after I graduate and get my licensure, I definitely want to be trained. It's something that you have to have your nursing licensure in order to do. So I definitely want to have that training so I can best care for this population. You know, Dr. Snellgrove was talking about this, but in the general population, you know, there's negative reactions to sexual assault, and then there's positive reactions to talking to a victim with sexual assault. Some of these negative reactions, you know, can be from blaming the victim to treating the victim differently, not focusing on their feelings, and those lead to this re-victimization that we want to prevent, and also even depression and potentially suicide. But we want to focus on creating that positive experience or giving these patients positive reactions. Providing emotional, practical, and different social support that to the best that we can help them. So that's kind of what I want to focus on potentially in my career, that I can go out and help this population and help other nurses in the future.
That's part of the making connections that count, part of Created State. That's what this is all about.
That's right.
So tell us, how has it been working with Brooks? In this.
It's been wonderful. You know, there are some students that we have to push a little bit. Brooks is the kind of patient who pushes me, and I love that. I love high-achieving students, and he definitely has been. It's been wonderful.
Very good. And how's it been working with Dr. Snellgrove?
Yeah, so it's definitely really neat to, you know, I feel that I'm in the getting business and that she's in the giving business. She's giving me all that information and knowledge that she's gained over her career as a nurse and different experiences that she's seen. So that's a really awesome thing. She's been a great advisor, helped me out with so many things, and I wouldn't be able to do it without her.
Very good. Anything else you would like to add about this? Thank you so much for coming up. Is Dr. Yes. Snellgrove, anything else you want to add?
Not really. I've been involved with Created State for years. And I think it's a great, great experience for students. And I hope that as many as possible can possibly participate, because I've seen nothing but positive experiences.
How do you think the students have come away from Created State? I know it has had to help them, you know, in what they do.
I think it builds great confidence. I have each of my honor students so they submit their abstract for their research so that they can do an oral presentation. A lot of times we've had them defend their research right there during their oral presentation, and I think they gain a great deal of confidence, and they're more willing in the future to do research and to have the confidence to go out there and present it and speak publicly.
Dr. Susan Snellgrove and student Brooks Probst on the Created State podcast To hear more interviews like this one, you can subscribe to the Created State Podcast at the Created State Podcast page on KASU.org. It's also available on iTunes or Google Play or anywhere you get your podcast, and you can listen on the NPR app. And please tell others about the Created State Podcast and leave us a review, as we'd love to hear from you. You are listening to A-State Connections on KASU.